versus buy, the ultimate showdown. Oh yeah. Should you build a bike or just buy a new one? I have a very special surprise for you, and it rhymes with winning a free chopper that I built. Now, considering over the last 20 years, I've built a shitload of bikes, but I don't think I've ever actually documented the process of building a bike, including the cost, time, challenges, and all that a bike build entails. So I decided to compare my building experience building a custom chopper in detail against buying a new bike. And then I'm gonna give that chopper away. So in this video, I'm gonna show you the process I use, the parts I used, where I got the parts, how much they cost, what I did with them, the challenges one might encounter, and the finished result. I still have all my fingers, that's a good sign. Now, by the end of this video, my hope is that you can confidently say whether or not you belong on team build or team buy. But you may not have to build or buy because I'm gonna give this bike away for free, and you might be the lucky bastard that wins it. That's correct. At the end of the video, I'll show you how to enter to win my custom motorcycle built with over $4,000 in parts for free, not to mention all the time I put into the thing. And if you're watching this video years after it's been posted, I'm always giving something away. So make sure to click the link in the description to find out what I'm giving away now. You know what else is free? It actually lets me know that I'm not just dumping word vomit into the void that will be buried in 2 years by god-awful TikTok, broccoli haircut, lip sync videos, and bullshit skibbity toilet brain rot. No, it's not heartburn or depression or herpes. You wanna see more of this rad shit though, like this video, clicking the like button or sharing the video tells the algorithm you've got impeccable taste and I'm still sexy. Let's get into the comparison. As I mentioned, we're gonna talk about what it takes to build a custom bike, going over everything from parts, tools, costs, and labor, and I'm gonna let you decide if you think you're up for that challenge, or it's a better idea for you to buy a new one and get on the road immediately. Now granted, that means you'll look like a stock riding Power Ranger. However, bear with me here, I get it. Everyone starts somewhere, and maybe stock is where you start. Yes, I was that doofy stock guy once too, so no judgment. Now, in order to do this comparison justice, let's lay out the rules of engagement. The rules. I know, we gotta have rules, guys. There are a few rules and definitions I wanna cover so that this comparison has some even playing ground and it makes sense. Numero uno is budget. I'm gonna start this battle of build versus buy like all of us do by defining my budget. Because if we're being real about this, if you had unlimited budget, you would customize any bike you bought in some way and probably do it 1,000 times over because it's just fucking fun. But the budget we're gonna use today is 10K. I'm using this budget because it's very middle of the road. You can find both new and used bikes for this price and less. But if you want something excessive, you could use your 10K budget as a down payment, getting you a nice big garbage barge Trailer Queen. Sure. Number two, build means DIY, do it yourself. So for this comparison, I will do all the work myself and build the whole thing, showing prices of materials, that kind of thing. Paying someone to build your bike is totally fine. I mean, that's honestly where I started really. And for funsies, you can absolutely bring in some help on certain things. I think it's always good times to smoke a beer and drink a bowl with a buddy in the garage while you wrench. It's fun. But for this video, we're not gonna be comparing paying someone to build you a full custom bike versus buying a new bike. We are comparing you building the bike versus buying a new one. So in this video, I'm also gonna show you that you don't necessarily need to be a master fabricator to have fun with building. And I think you'll discover it's a lot easier than you think. I think the barrier for a lot of people is really just in their minds.
Free your mind.
So I'm gonna walk through this with you to help you get off the fence and onto the chopper of your dreams. And finally, rule number three. New means any bike you buy stock from a dealership for 10K cash or less. The process. Let's get into the process I used. I'm going to cover what I did. I am not gonna be covering how I did each little thing step-by-step tutorial style. If you want step-by-step tutorials on the how, subscribe to the channel because there are hundreds of how-to videos laying out step-by-step how to do this stuff. So step one is time assessment. And this is where bike dreams go to die. Before you start thinking about what bike you're gonna build, always start by setting a realistic time commitment expectation. Give yourself at least 3 days to fully rewire your bike before a long trip. Duh, okay? If you've only got evenings and weekends, it's gonna be a while before you're riding. This level of customization you wanna do needs to be considered. Are you gonna make a twisted square bar for every frame part? Is every bolt gonna be hand machined and then gold plated? Will you be sending the frame out to chrome and the tins to paint? Paint can take months for top quality work. That's due to curing times. If you actually dig into paint science, a really good paint job takes time to cure. It's not just boom, painted and done. The more basic the customization, the less time you'll need to spend. But don't hold back here. If you've got all the time in the world, this is really about having fun and being creative. The frame is a consideration here as well. If you start with a stock frame, you are halfway there. Availability of parts is another reason why it's so important to plan this shit out. It's prudent also to expect delays. Allow for shipping times, holidays where no one ships. Also, make sure you have your parts before you rip the damn bike apart. If you decide decide you want some fancy snowflake wheels and come to find out the set you've been eyeing on Fleabay sold while you were sleeping, boo. Now you're in problem-solving mode and making new plans, and that's generally a stick in the spokes to build progress. Now, if you hit roadblocks for months on end, you're very likely to get discouraged and end up selling your basket case to a tweaker for fucking pennies. That's where the dreams die. Step 2. The first thing I did after I set the budget and determined I could dictate the time is determine what I want this thing to be. To build, you need a vision. I knew I wanted a chopper vibe, so that's the direction I took the bike, and that helps limit the platform options, which leads us to step number 3. Once I had a clear vision, imagination, it was time to choose the platform. I chose one that has lots of parts available and something I really fucking enjoy. That way, things are much easier. I chose a Honda Shadow VT600. I chose a Gen 1, that's the 88 to 98 model, dual carb VT600, because the dual carb setup offers more horsepower over single carb version, and I know the platform pretty dang well. Step 4, buy the bike. I bought it used for $1,600, but not running, off Craigslist, fully stock. I can usually tell with some simple inspection techniques whether I can get a bike running or not. I have a fairly good idea if it's gonna be a pain in my ass. Let me know in the comments if you think I should make a video on how I inspect used bikes before I buy them. Call it 20 years of failures that added up to wisdom, learned my lessons. However, if you're not a seasoned builder or mechanic, and please, be honest with yourself, it's okay. I highly suggest you buy a running bike so that more of your budget can go towards customization and not repairs and solving problems. It's just honestly not super fun having to spend the first 6 months trying to figure out what the fuck is wrong with the bike. Now, before long, you'll have sunk a pile of moolah into getting the thing running and you haven't even begun the build. Now you're just fixing shit. So unless you're really super handy or maybe just insanely confident, buy a running bike to start. You don't want any surprises. Step 5. Once I had the bike back at the shop, the first thing I did is make sure that fucker will run, as I said previously. I do an oil change, coolant flush and change, I swap spark plugs out, properly gapped, I do a full carb rebuild, and basically make sure I can ride the bike before I stop ripping off blinkers. Now, if the bike needs tires, or you plan on using a specific tire, you need to put them on the bike. This will affect ride height, your fender spacing, as well as how the bike handles. So once you've got new tires that you plan on using for the build, you wanna ride the bike around a little. Go grab some tacos, get a coffee, put 20 to 40 miles on it. I use this stage to address my performance mods too. I rebuild the carbs with stacks, chokes, breathers, and I install my chosen exhaust, or something close to what I'm gonna end up with. I will share exactly the performance products I used on this build shortly. That's where you'll catch any little things that come up later and really put cat shit in the brownie mix, that 20 to 40 mile ride. Step 6. Next is tools. I know I already have every tool I need to accomplish the jobs efficiently, but if you don't, you may need to work tools into your budget. And you'll see me use Snap-on because I am using these tools every single motherfucking day. I personally started with Craftsman, Harbor Freight, nothing wrong with that. And if you're just starting your tool collection, go get some Craftsman or Husky or Harbor Freight stuff. They really should be paying me to say shit like that, honestly. I mean, I'm promoting these places. Fuck them. Don't let someone shame you into spending more money on shit you're not even certain you're gonna use more than once. Listen to that. And hear me when I say, when you are done with your tools, clean and wipe them down with WD-40 and have a place to put them. This makes a lot of sense for your whole build because nothing's worse than crawling around the floor looking for a 10 millimeter socket that you need. You just pissed away an hour with a flashlight on the dirty floor. So here's the tools I used. Metric and standard sockets. Quarter and 3/8 drive ratchets with various extensions. Screwdrivers, generally a JIS or number 2 Phillips and a standard will do just fine. Plastic and a rubber mallet. Hex or Allen keys. Pliers, standard and needle nose, as well as dykes. Metric and standard combination wrenches. Oil filter wrench, appropriately sized for the bike you're working on. 3/8 tubing to help remove spark plugs. Favorite tool I have, very cheap too. Battery power drill, a drill driver, flat jack or lift, spark plug gapping tool. Kind of a basic rundown of the tools I use. Now on the low end, meaning garage sale and swap meets, you're looking at, I don't know, $400 to $500 for these tools. You might pay a little less if you really hunt. And on the high end, buying everything new, you might be looking at $1,000. The teardown. This is the one where everyone jumps the gun on this shit. So once the tool inventory's been taken, you got what you need, it's teardown time. This is where you take everything off the bike you don't want or need. The rule here is basically if it came with the bike, you don't want it. Some stock stuff can be resold on eBay for a few bucks, so keep that in mind. Now step 8, the frame. At this point, you'll wanna do any fabrication work or frame modification. I didn't wanna do a 50% hardtail on this bike because I really wanted to showcase the monostrut and E-tank setup. So I hacked off the seat support, fabricated the support for the solo seat I was gonna use. This is honestly the most fabrication I did on this bike, and you can actually make a pretty sick bike without going this far. If there's any tabs or things you don't want on the frame, Now is the time to cut that shit off and clean up the frame. This is also the time to set up that sexy rear fender and sissy bar or struts, as well as mounting the battery box. Now, I touched on the tires previously. If you have an old tire on the bike and you try to set up your fender, what's gonna happen most likely is you put the new tire on and everything doesn't fit. Step 9 is parts and modifications, or mods, whatever you wanna say if you're into the brevity thing. Here is where we start building the bike back up, and that parts pile starts to get a little smaller. Now, I like to get the E-tank mounted, the mono strut, coil mounts, and the gas tank set up first because I'm almost to the electrical phase. At this point, I will also address the front end if I'm doing anything there like a springer or extensions, and I'll also install the new chain at this point. Step 10, electrical and the wiring harness, also known as the Technicolor Spaghetti Bowl. Now, when it comes to electrical, less is more. I don't try and trim my entire harness down to nothing on this type of build. I just tuck away what I don't need and extend where necessary. This is something a lot of people fuck up. Don't use any solder. Solder's for computers and home electronics. You don't want it on a bike. A bike is bouncing around, vibrating. You want to use non-insulated buck connectors or ring terminals with adhesive lined heat shrink. And in the case of lights, I use bullet connectors between the harness and the light so I can disconnect the lights if I want to. This is also the time to run new ignition wiring and set up the new resistor caps for your spark plugs if you have them on your build, and setting up the coils on the E-tank. You also want to run your start and kill switch at this time. Now, step 11 is the finishing. This includes paint, plating, and other finishing touches. This is some of the more expensive shit when it comes to building a bike, honestly. Paint can be upwards of 5 to 10K depending on who does it, and in my experience with paint, I usually get what I pay for. I've gone through some pretty inexpensive guys. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. The problem there is you gamble with time and the quality of the results. So chroming and polishing also are less expensive, but definitely a consideration for your build. For this bike, I want to do the whole thing myself, so I did not use any outsourcing of those kind of things. I opted for a custom patina on pipes, tank, and fender that I did myself. Step 12, the shakedown. Now, this is where I find out if I'm a dipshit and where I find out where those extra bolts go. I do a sweep usually from tip to tail of the bike, testing each fastener to make sure it's tightened to spec. Then I gas up for a ride. I like to start with short rides, then a few blocks, then a few miles of the garage. Now, gradually I'll increase the distance and intensity. I pay attention to my fluids, seals, tires, chain, brakes. A backpack with tools is a wise choice on these little trips. You'll find that brakes might need adjusting, or the controls, maybe a bolt's loose that you forgot to tighten down. The goal here with the shakedown is to uncover any problems with your build. And this should really be a methodical process to reveal any weaknesses in your build. Once I had done my shakedown runs, the Brutal team and I took this thing out to the desert and gave it a proper shakedown, an old private race. Normally I do this stuff myself. I thought it'd be pretty cool to take one of our own guys and have him ride the bike so it's not just me giving the feedback. Ricky rode the bike around the desert. Check it out. It performed phenomenally. The Harley, on the other hand, leaked like a sieve. Go figure. I suppose if the Harley's not leaking, I have a problem. Now let's head to the showroom, where I'm gonna walk around every detail of the bike, including parts and costs. I'll compare the cost to a new bike and show you how you can win this badass machine. Now I wanna give you Snowflakes a little trigger warning here. I'm an engineer and parts designer with a fourth grade education, very, very prestigious. And I build bikes using a lot of parts that I make and sell. So some of this may sound like I'm making a commercial for my own shit, and that's because I fucking am, duh. Shameless self-promotion? Yes. I believe that if you can't promote your own shit, why would you even do it? Let's get into the performance upgrades specifically. Now, I started all this with a carb rebuild and tune. I used the Brutal Customs Max Performance Kit, which includes a performance rebuild kit, mixed screws, velocity stacks, and I chose the Magnus V upsweeps, which I modified with some dope slash cut tips. Let's look at the body and frame now. I use the Brutal Customs Complete Mono Strut Hardtail Kit, which includes the Mono Strut E-Tank, and the coil mounts. The E-Tank is actually perfect because it lets me mount the regulator rectifier and the coils outside the tank using the pre-drilled holes. For the battery, I went with the Anti-Gravity AG801 bolt-on battery box and the Featherlight AG801 battery. I use the best ignition kit on the planet, the Brutal Customs Ignition Tune-Up Kit. That includes new plugs, new caps, and wires. And I trimmed any wiring that was unneeded and tucked everything into the E-Tank. Let's move on to parts and mods. Up front, I ran the Firestone Deluxe Champion Sawtooth Coker Style 4x19 tire with a brand new tube installed with my own two hands, and I have the scars on my knees to prove it. I also put a new K673 cruise tire and a fresh tube on the rear wheel. Now on the front forks, I dropped in the Brutal Customs 6-inch VT600 fork extensions, which really gave the bike a kickback chopper look. One thing that I actually machine by hand is the fork brace. This is a first version. It's beefy as hell, the way you like your men. Now, I wanted to add something up front, and a beefy ass brace did the trick. And it kept the front stable in those turns. For the cockpit, I went with some 2-inch Rise Brutal Customs black finned risers. And I used the +4 extended cables kit for the clutch and the throttle cable. Don't forget to lube those up. And I used the gorgeous, personal favorite, Brutal Tersus kit in brass, which includes the Malleus grips and the Aceris throttle assembly with a throttle lock. For the bars, I used the Biltwall Frisco bars, but after riding the bike for a bit, I think I'm gonna change those out, but we'll see. I removed all wiring from the bars and relocated the start switch to the E-tank. I also wired in the kill switch, so I don't need a separate switch for that. I like my bikes to be real minimal. I used the brass spike stem nut because, fuck, it's pretty, man. I used the Brutal Customs Max Fuel Kit, which includes the Brutal Customs Peanut Tank, Fuel Line, and the Brutal Customs Petcock Fuel Filter, as well as some Red Coat. And I went for a brass gas cap option. I ditched the stock coolant overflow tank, which is a hideous abomination of plastic, and I used the Brutal Customs U-Core tank, mounted on the left side of the down tube, and did a complete coolant flush and refill with Coolinol. I pulled the oil filter, which actually happened to be the original Honda filter, and refilled the bike with Royal Purple, full synthetic, and popped on a new oil filter. I installed a new X-ring chain with clip master link because rivet links are an absolute bitch and O-rings are buttholes. Also pulled out all this crusty stock case hardware and replaced it using the Brutal Customs stainless case bolt kit. I think it looks amazing. I did actually do some minimal fabrication on this bike where I fabbed up a really basic solo seat support so I could actually run springs for the Brutal Customs Libertor seat and our seat hinge, and it gave me a place to mount the rear fender. Now I decided to use the Mohawk fender for this build because I absolutely love the look of it and it adds a little depth to the rear of the bike. I took a Brutal Customs straight up sissy bar and added some tabs for a tail light. I didn't really want to mount the license plate on the sissy bar this time, which I've done a lot, so I ran the Brutal Customs tenant license plate mount without the light bracket on the side of the bike. That's the beauty of that thing, it's absolutely modular. For the foot pegs, I dropped in a sexy brass set of Brutal Customs Service Model 1 foot pegs. For the electrical and wiring. For the headlight, I ran a brass Brutal Customs headlight mount so I could wire up one of our headlights. I ditched the stock headlight and wired in the new one with bullet connector. I also rewired the starter relay, and the battery wiring, the ground, all replaced with new wire and upgraded terminals and heat shrink on all the connections for an absolute bulletproof setup. I also wired in a beautiful prism taillight to mount on that straight up sissy bar. Taxes and shipping. Good times. Now, if you bought all this stuff and shipped it to California, the sales tax would be around $536, which is pretty much the worst case. Most other states are not as severe as the fourth circle of hell. Now, since this would be over a $299.99 in total purchase price before tax on tjbrutalcustoms.com, it would qualify for us to ship it to you anywhere in the US for free. So the total bike cost here is $5,531.50. Challenges. Now listen, son, I've done enough of these where there really weren't any challenges for me on this build per se. But if you want smooth sailing on your build, those earlier steps I mentioned about planning shit out, buying the right base platform, and ensuring the fucker runs before you cut anything off will save you so much hassle. Trust, I made the mistake of building an entire bike before it even ran. Oh my God, what a fucking nightmare. Learn from my mistakes. So let's total it all up and see how it compares to buying a brand spanking new bike. And I'm gonna show you how you can win this bike. The custom built VT600 using all the parts I used, and I went all freaking out. You're in for $5,531.50 for parts and $1,600 for the bike itself. That's a grand total of $7,131.50. Cash out of pocket. This does not include anything you had someone else handle, maybe some machining or fab work here and there, but that stuff in a lot of cases can be bartered, so I'm really not gonna count that as a real cost here. Just get creative. Beer, burritos, weed, other stuff, you know, that's just as good as cash in some cases. So if you put that up against, say, buying a stock Harley, you're looking at $10,000 for a Nightster model. That's before sales tax, whatever metrosexual fees they have now. And that's well before the purple LEDs, obnoxious handlebar mounted speakers, and the leather daddy arm candy. So, after watching what it takes to build a bike, which road do you think you're more likely to take and why? Let me know in those comments. Sound the fuck off. I know I promised I would tell you how you can enter to win this exact motorcycle. It's super freaking easy. You can visit the link in the description, put your email in, and booyah, you are entered to win. Easy peasy, make me queasy. Again, if you're watching this in the future, you time-traveling lord of chaos, go ahead and click that link anyway and see what the hell kind of dope shit I'm giving away now. Keep it tight, aight? Peace.